in Knoxville, online at 10sportsmed.com. Check out the link at TonyBasilio.com. And if you've done like us, you've tried the rest, why don't you do like the Basilios and try the best? Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, and I mean that when I say it. And let's get our next caller in here as Alabama starts out their drive with a penalty, and I love seeing that. They're down 7-3, 7:39 to go in your third quarter. Arkansas with a lead there at Alabama. Hello and welcome.
Tony, this is Luke.
Hey, Luke, get on in here, my friend.
I'm so proud of the fans, the players, and the coaches, and the media. We all deserve this win. We all had the spirit. We weren't going to give up, and we won the game. I was proud of Coach Jones in the end of the first half, going for it on fourth down two times in a row, and for the players making the first down. Those two great catches on fourth down was tremendous. I was disappointed in the referee. We scored a touchdown there in the second half that he didn't call the penalty. He was all over that guy, or defender was, and I was disappointed in that, but we won the game. We didn't give up. Great comeback, and this game will never be forgotten.
This game right here, because of the week that was around it, will be talked about by the living fan 20 years from now. It really will. People will remember this game for a long, long time, and they'll remember the effort that Josh Dobbs had today, which goes into the pantheons of some of the great running quarterbacks in this league, as we just heard a second ago, running for 300 or throwing for 300, rushing for 100. That is select company that he finds himself in. Tim Tebow did it once, and there was another pretty darn good quarterback in this league that did it twice. Otherwise, you have to go some to see an effort like this. How about Johnny Manziel? There have been three SEC quarterbacks in 20 seasons to pass for 300 and rush for 100 in a game. Manziel did it four times. Dobbs has done it twice. Tebow's did it once, as great as he was. That is a difficult thing to throw for 300 yards. Of course, Tebow couldn't throw for 300 yards if he was playing in a Pop Warner game. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
He certainly did against Tennessee, though. He threw the ball pretty good against Tennessee.
Yeah, he was just not a passer, though.
That Dobbs, I can't believe how he ran that. But he don't look that strong, but he looks like he's got magic. He just keeps going and going and going and going.
He's amazing.
Again and again and again and again.
And again. Hey, I'll tell you what. Yeah. When he called his own number, Bino, on the goal line, and he ran over four guys, that was beyond next level.
Yeah, we've had some warrior runs this year, Tony, both from the running backs and from the quarterback. And Rocky made a great point, I thought, tonight as we were watching the game about Dobbs. Dobbs is a mobile, erratic thrower who, for some reason, throws the ball much better out of the pocket, and his best pass is when he throws the ball down the middle. And I know they're scared to do that because he's wild in the strike zone, and that's a bad place to throw it if you're not accurate, but that's his best throw. That's what they need to let him do. Even though it goes against everything that you would think that he stands for as a quarterback.
Anything else, Luke? Great hearing from you, buddy.
Well, I tell you, I'm just so excited for the fans and the players, and I'm just hoping we can come back 2 weeks and win two games in a row.
Luke, I say let's do it. This week they're having basketball media day over there. Coach Barnes is launching his inaugural season this week with a lot of excitement around the basketball program. It's great to be a Tennessee Vol, Lukey.
Big Orange Country. Big Orange. Go Big Orange.
Thank you. Or Big Gray. Bino, do you like the gray jerseys?
Tony, I thought that the gray was, I liked it. And I've told you before, a year ago, you couldn't have convinced me I would have ever wanted to wear anything but the white helmet with the T on it. But after seeing that with the gray last year and seeing these gray helmets this year, there's no reason to ever wear a white helmet with those gray jerseys. Wear them once a year and go all out, I had no problem with it. I thought they looked good.
And if you look really hard, they've got the Smoky Mountains in the background.
Yeah, I heard that Byrne said you had to look really hard. Of course, Byrne has to look really hard to see the Kimlem at the 50-yard line, so I'm not surprised he's having trouble seeing the mountains. Did Jalen Meeves-Raven make any tackles tonight?
Jalen Meeves-Raven, Dubsy, did you spot him? Because he used to play with Yes at one time, was a really guitar player.
I think you're thinking of Steve Howe.
But or Trevor Rabin. But let's go back to our phones.
Yes.
865-200.
He's the owner of A Lonely Heart.
5402. Very good. And if you want to get in, a line is available for you.
I think it was in Asia, too.
Wow, a line available.
There is a line, one line.
That's a first.
Let's go to bed.
That's true. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200. 5402 if you want to get in with us tonight. Want to celebrate tonight's victory. Tennessee over your Georgia Bulldogs. Mark Richt's snippy after the game. Losing will do that. It is the second time in Mark Richt's career that he has lost two games in a row. The last time it was a couple of unlikely suspects. Included in there was Vanderbilt. Arkansas is on top of Alabama in a game that is not one for the ages. This is some ugly looking football here, but if you like low scoring football, there you go. John Tweet with a really off color tweet about Vern Lundquist that I won't repeat because we keep it classy around here, John Tweet. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What you say, Peculio?
Hey, T, welcome, buddy.
Like y'all said, man, it's, I mean, it was, one for the ages, man. I mean, Georgia game, you know, Tennessee-Georgia game that you just cannot give up on, man. I mean, you just cannot give up on. It's just going to be wild and 60 minutes of wild and wacky football, man. And it's a one win that we definitely, you know, had to have right here in our home, on our home field, man. It was great, man. I mean, it was everything. I mean, in the first half, it was like, you know, scratching your head. I mean, why are we in a shotgun formation? Inside the one.
Please learn from you got to learn from that coming out of this game. You cannot be in a pistol formation, TR, is what they were in. On the 1 yard line, you've got freaking number one back there crying out loud. It's so damn frustrating.
You had two times, first and goal inside the 10 in the first quarter. You come away with 3 points.
Because, as TR said, you're not utilizing your personnel properly.
No doubt.
Don't do that.
Well, we got back down there again, knocking on the door when we got the 3 points, and we did the same thing. So they're not going to learn, man.
They learned some stuff tonight. They threw the ball downfield some. I was kind of proud of that.
Right.
They let the clock run tonight before snapping the ball. And Butch Jones actually looked semi-relaxed over there on the sidelines. There's a lot of things that happened tonight. And I'll say this, they had their most imaginative night. And they turned the quarterback loose to let him throw the ball. And so, it, at the end of it all, was, I think, a pretty good night. But there are still some things to learn. Like, for instance, on TR, you can't go into the pistol on the 1 foot line when you've got number one back there. That's just not sound. That's just not sound football.
I mean, if you're going to go into like a pistol, it should be whatever you want to call
Wildcat. Put one back here and let him run around. Right
you
on.
Had two people side by side and just a direct snap and go, man. I mean, there should be no handoff on a... It's crazy, dude.
I agree, and I hope they learn.
You do not want to make an exchange after the snap, man. I mean... Unless you're under center.
Where are you, Bino, on that? In terms of getting around the 1 foot line and them running the pistol there and really paying the price for it.
Yeah, you know, guys, I dislike this offense in short yardage. I always have. I think it's good out on the field. I think it's lousy when you get in close. They're not going to do that. They're not going to put it. We found the only way we're ever going to get Josh Dobbs under center. That's when we're trying to pull somebody off sides. And they're not going to jump when we're in a formation we never use. Because they know we're not going to run a play. We've never run a play out of it. I think T's got the answer. They're not going to put him under center. So get down there and get you a big package where you snap it to a running back and play single wing football down there.
TR, How great is it to beat those guys? And let me ask you something. If Mark Richt would have snapped at you like he did that reporter and said, "Are you a Tennessee fan?" What would you have told him, T?
I didn't see it unravel there, but man, I just know, man, that we're going to, the next few days, I mean, we've already heard it before, George, you know, we can't beat Alabama. I mean, we're not going to beat Alabama, but, you know, that's all right, man. We're going to show up down there in Tuscaloosa. We're going to show up.
Absolutely.
And we're going to lay it on the damn line.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm not giving up on that game. No. Alabama's not a world beater, man. They are struggling right now. They are struggling with Arkansas 7-3. They don't have enough offense, TR, for us to look down our nose at them. And quite frankly, they're not as fierce and fearsome on defense. Last week, they were really aided by the rain in that game with Georgia. I believe that. I 1,000% believe that. Tennessee could win that Alabama game. I believe that.
Well, the Alabama, as we know, they're still currently playing. They go to A&M at College Station next week, and we're going to be, you know, kind of getting, you know, things, or small, aching things, shored up, and, we're going to go into Alabama fresh, man. We're going into that game fresh, but I just want to enjoy tonight. Lukey, had a great call, man. I mean, the fans, the coaches, the players, not the total media, not the freaking snooze, not the across the board, Lukey. Everybody across the board over there predicted us getting beat. That's your freaking Heather Houston Harrington, your freaking Jimmy LSU Himes. That's across the board there. So I say, baby, enjoy tonight,
yep.
I say enjoy tonight, and do not play any Derek Dooley soundbites. No more Derek Dooley soundbites, Ryder. Go Big Orange! Woo!
Thank you, TR. We encourage calls like that. I like inebriation. Just stay off the roads. But inebriation in a post-game call-in show is a good thing. Back to the phones we go. Coker just delivered a strike, 81 yards. And he let it go under a fierce rush, and he hung in there and let it rip. And that's it. Back to the phones we go. Bill Snyder and is blowing out TCU tonight. Any thoughts, guys, on that?
Wow. Three top 10 teams on the ropes right now. TCU against K-State.
Yep.
Bama just took the lead.
Yep.
And Michigan State has their hands full at Rutgers. They were down 14-10 at the half.
What is a Rutgers? And Rutgers has had, they have a dumpster fire of an athletic program up there. Julie Herman, with her Lady Vols ties,
makes Dave Hart look like a leader of...
of men.
Champions.
Of man.
Yeah, of men, certainly.
Oh. I don't
know about women, but certainly of men.
865-200-5402. Vol Asher Bryan, you're getting on my nerves right now, bro, on Twitter. I'm gonna call this guy out. He says, "I love that the Nega callers haven't called. Interesting. Hey Bryan. Just because somebody gets pissed off after a loss doesn't make them negative. Stop it. We're all allowed to enjoy the win. You don't get to decide who gets to enjoy the win and who doesn't. And if that offends you, I don't give a damn. It's the truth. We're all in this together. Everybody wants to do well. Even the people that get harsh with the coach want us to do well. That's what today's game is about. Today's game is a reprieve from all that. Can you please stop it, sir? Thank you. Back to the phones we go. Bino, would you like to say something about that, or am I wrong? People that go, "Where are the negative callers now?" We're celebrating a win. Everybody's celebrating a win. Would you like to address that, Beano, or am I wrong?
I mean, everyone's going to react to losses different, and the truth is we've had some of the most painful losses in one season than I can ever remember. I never remember a season with two losses like Oklahoma and Florida, where there were obviously some flaws from the sidelines that deserve to be pointed out. Tonight is a nice cleansing win. It puts a lot of things back on the table.
Thank you. Why can't we enjoy it? Why does a guy like that have to stick his finger in everybody's face and go, we're the negative people? Who's going to be negative after a win like that? Can we enjoy something? Can we have something nice? Or is it going to be all about coach worshiping? That's what it comes down to. That's not what this is about to me. This is a great win. This is a fun day. Let's live in it. Enjoy it. It wasn't a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a fun day. That stuff runs all over me. The whole, it's us against them. I'm the pro-butch. You're the anti-butch. You're the this. I'm the that. I mean, look, we're all Tennessee fans. It is what it is. We won today. We had our guts ripped out this year. Back to the phones we go. And thank God we're not cheering for Florida, even if they are undefeated or whatever they are. Let's get our next call, because I don't want to be
kind
a Florida
of a
fan.
A Konzo type feel to it.
That's what we've come to, and I'm not doing that. I'm not playing that. I'm not playing that. That stuff drives me crazy. We're here to enjoy this tonight. We're here to enjoy this. This is fun.
Let's not
and
divide.
It's been a great show.
Let's unite.
And listen to TR, he went crazy. And I'm so glad Nick Chubb looks like he's going to be okay. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
Not bad. I mean, that ball ass of Brian, I mean, just stuff it, man. I mean, there's, you know, we're trying to celebrate here. There are definitely things that I saw even in the win that we need to work on going forward. We can talk about that 2 weeks before Alabama. Tonight's about celebrating. You know, I mean, give it a rest. I think, like Phil said earlier, that the line, the biggest difference to me was when we had to insert those two freshmen on the right side, all of a sudden Dobbs had, you know, instead of 2 seconds to make a decision, he had 5 or 6, and he started finding guys downfield. The hitch and go, when we got those guys biting up on the hitch, you know, time after time, and then finally the board went to the hitch and go, and then we connected with, I guess it was Ethan Wolf down the sideline there in the fourth quarter. It was beautiful. Vern, as always, is excellent on the call. You know, Alvin Medley caught a touchdown pass tonight. I don't know if you're all aware of that. Apparently, Aaron Medley's got his brother Alvin's playing on the team now.
He's got a high ceiling. I like me some Alvin Medley.
Yes, sir. I mean, Dobbs, I mean, what, that was one for the ages tonight. I mean, this is, we'll be able to celebrate this performance tonight probably how we should have been able to celebrate the Florida performance. Yeah, I mean, that kid is giving his all almost every game. And, you know, last week, he was beat all to hell last week after the Florida game. So, you know, the only thing I'd say going forward is I really think you've got to start those two freshmen at the right side. Just go with it. And, you know, you can't explain to me how Todd Kelly's not starting now. I mean, when he's in the game, he's making plays.
Oh, man. Todd Kelly's he's a stud, man. What a ball player right there. And just scratching the surface of his vast, vast potential. Would have loved to see him haul in that interception there at the end, but all's well that ends well, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one, Tony. I really thought when that thing was bouncing up, I was on my knees in the living room thinking that it was going to bounce up in that kid's hand and just be one more heartbreak. So I heard you throw out the stat earlier, Russell, and I think I texted you, Tony. Georgia was actually 55-0. When leading by 21 points, I think going back to 2000 or 2001.
I guess that's a good stat. I mean, is that really surprising? I mean, how many teams struggle when they're up 21 points?
Georgia with us, for whatever reason, they get tight against us. So, The only other observation I made, I was absolutely stunned and kind of, the biggest question I have is why Nick Chubb was not immediately taken to the hospital. Mm. I mean, did you guys not see the shot where he, you know, completely lost consciousness on the sideline?
I think they eventually did put him in an ambulance and take him out, but, I don't know. That's bad. Getting back though to the Georgia thing, it's weird when you talk about Tennessee's rivalries. You've got, you know, against Florida, against Alabama, I have no confidence against those teams. For some reason, I don't feel that way against Georgia. You know, I'm not going to say I wasn't in the fetal position sweating that one out at the end, but I felt pretty confident when that punt went out around the one. I would have been shocked at that point if Tennessee would have blown it. It's something about the Dogs. They don't have a mental edge over the Vols the way Florida and Alabama do.
No. But I'm with Bino. I mean, I was, even after that final play, I was still holding my breath, waiting for them to say something and put time back on the clock or something. So, I don't know. Great win tonight. And, I mean, what can you say? Feels really good after, you know, 3 weeks now of misery. So, anyhow, you guys have a great night.
Thanks,
great
Robbie. Great hearing from you,
Robbie.
Man. It was fun. That's
Who's
what
Robbie?
Tonight was.
That's the bear in my world.
Sorry, brother.
Hmm.
So tell him where your world is, Dobbs. That's a good segue. That's a good segue into talking about your world.
I do a show weekdays from 3 to 6 on 94.3 FM here in Knoxville, KnoxTalkRadio.com. Follow me on Twitter, at RussellWNFC.
I want to say to Brian, a.k.a. Vol Lasher, please forgive, man. I just tweeted this out to you. But
that was harsh.
I am really, 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 really sorry for doing you like that. And Bino will tell you, when I get this kind of sick thing that I've got, I'll bite your freaking head off now. I mean, I'll bite somebody's head off anyway. And by the way, Mexico just scored 9 minutes into the game. Jurgen Klinsmann is a bum, a bozo, and a punk and clown. Hernandez just scored for Mexico. Dubsy, let's do this real quick. Bino, we say Tennessee football will drive us to drink. Bino, you don't drink at all, and I'm really kind of glad for that. I've become weak under Coach Butch Jones. I've got some Sugarland Shine. Moonshine in here. It's the cinnamon stuff. It's called Tickle. And Sugarland Shine, people, if y'all are listening, Yoshihiho to you. Russell, let's have a toast here and clang your glass with me, brother.
Are we drinking this down in a shot or
no?
We
we're just going to sip on it. But for finally getting over the hump, brother, here to our Vols, to the Tennessee family, salut. And if you're salut at home, salut.
Oh, wow, that's
right.
Good.
Wow.
It's got that kind of...
bite.
Like cough syrup. Not cough, like...
It's syrupy. It's really good.
Yeah.
Let's go to my phone. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in a game that's been wild. How about Alabama faking there from midfield, Bino? What'd you think of that? I mean, Arkansas, rather.
It flipped over to... Florida and Missouri and missed that.
Let me tell you what Arkansas did. They faked from midfield, and it looks like they're going to get off the field unless they're going to call this hold downfield. Are they going to call a defensive holding?
I'm in line, and I'm listening to the radio show.
I know, right, and you're on with us, so get on in here.
am I on? I'm
yeah,
on.
You're on, man. And they're just calling a defensive holding on Arkansas, of course.
Well, you know that's going to happen. I mean, come on.
Every day.
Alabama.
Every day, all day. Let's see. He stretched his jersey. Yeah, that's a good call. It's a good call.
I mean, let's be honest. The beginning of the SEC championship game was played in Birmingham, for God's sake.
It really was. And they charged the league $1 to keep their league office there. That
remember
is the,
when Mercedes bought the advertisement over there, and they were like, okay, yeah, this is going to be here forever.
Biggest joke in the world is the way Alabama controls the conference. It's the biggest joke in the world.
You know, the only worst thing that's happened is Texas controlling the Big 12. Well, they get actually more money than the other teams do.
Yes, but you know what? You know what's really interesting about conventional wisdom? Notre Dame got their own network, and they sucked to high heaven. for the most part.
Right, and Texas
is sucking the high heaven right now, controlling that network.
Well, you know why? That basically ran Texas A&M in our arms in the SEC. Because if they were going to all get even, then they would never have left.
Unbelievable, Andy Mack.
Anybody that pays a dollar to do anything in Birmingham is getting hosed.
Great line, Beanstar.
But the best thing ever, 1995, Peyton goes down there and drills them after 10 years of nonsense and we're not winning, and he beats the heck out of them.
It's okay, brother. You can live a little on here, just not too much, okay?
No problem. I just got a couple things, and first of all, I am so happy at the kids' resilience today. How they played when they got down, how the coaches coached when we got down, I think was really remarkable. But a couple things that everyone is drilling the pistol on the goal line. But let me say this, if you're under center and that guy comes free, he may tackle Dobbs as he turns to hand off to Hurd and make him fumble anyway because he came untouched.
The problem,
so
though,
you're going to have a fullback and
that's
Hurd
the point. That's the point.
Well, if you have that, well, that's fine. But most teams don't even run with a fullback anymore. So even if you're under center, that guy came free. He could have made that fumble whether it was in the pistol or under center.
Mike DeBoard teased me earlier in the year, and it wasn't just because he loosened his shirt up top. He teased me because in that Bowling Green State game, they got on the goal line and they had Ellis out there and they used him as kind of a hybrid fullback type. And I'm wanting to see that.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I want something a little more conventional.
Right, but we would have had a single back under center, and that could have been just as well a fumble from Dobbs instead of Hurd.
Oh, I understand. The play was blown up.
Because he was, the whole play was blown up because he came in right between the two. Between the two offensive linemen, untouched.
DJ Square, let me say this to you. DJ Square, DJ to the Stars, wants to thank you for saying the word resilience instead of resiliency, which is not a word. Resiliency does not exist, so.
You know, and I know what, and you know what, Tony, and we were talking about, you know, enjoying the win and the negative, but when you read, Twitter during the game, Dobbs misses a guy by 30 yards, and the board is getting blamed. It's gotten so out of hand that it's if the players succeed, it's theirs, and if they fail, it's the coach's failure. And anything negative is coaches, anything positive, it's not like in the first half, and I love how Dobbs came back in the second half, he missed people by 20 yards throwing the ball. If you can't make a throw either left or right when people are wide open, that is not the coach. You gotta execute some of these plays. The wide receivers dropping passes, how many defensive backs dropped interceptions tonight?
Oh.
And we still won, which is awesome, but I don't, if we put people in position and then they continue to not to make it, I don't know, it's gotten to a point where, and you're right, it's either. And I'm not saying I'm loving every coaching decision that is made. I don't. But it's gotten to the point where everything that's gone wrong, people just want to blame it on Butch and their coaching staff. They could miss a snap fumble and it would be somehow the board being conservative. It's gotten to that point.
Well, there's no doubt. There's plenty of room for improvement, Bino, and sometimes it's good to win those games, and that's got to make you feel good going forward, is to know that you can win a game like this where you've got to grind it out. You didn't necessarily play your best. You had a superhuman effort from Josh Dobbs. But what if Malik Foreman makes that interception in that series early what if Todd Kelly hauls it in? There are plenty of guys that, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, that need to step up and can get better.
Ethan Wolf in the end zone. That's a touchdown.
Touchdown. But you know what? Let me say one thing to you, and I want your thoughts on this. That's why I love college football. College football is an imperfect deal played by imperfect products. It's not like the NFL. But I agree with you from this standpoint. people love saying that's coaching, coaching, coaching. Coaching is the decision not to go for two or not, and that's kind of stupid, right? We all think that's kind of dumb. Coaching is some of the tactical things like rushing three guys tonight on fourth down and 14 when you're trying to put the game away. You know, those things are, to me, are coaching. The players making plays or not making plays, a lot of times is the players making plays or not making plays. It's not coaching.
True.
So no, I'm kind of with you on that. And I love college football for that. I love the imperfection of college football.
It's frustrating and exciting at the same time.
Yes, it is. It's maddening, right?
No, there, you know, a couple things. I swear to God, the thing that drives me crazy is, though, and it took them three quarters to do it finally, is all the passing around the line of scrimmage. People know that, and it drives me absolutely crazy. We finally went a hitch and go to Ethan Wolf, and it was two guys were wide open. I mean, we could have done that in the second or third quarter, as much screens as we were running. So I get the frustration with that. But the defense does drive me crazy because, honestly, they are the reason. Like, we could talk about conservative play calling all day long for this whole season. But if the defense actually shows up on those late fourth quarter drives, we're 6-0.
That is a great point. And you say the defense. How about if we don't rush three down there at Florida?
No, that's what I mean. I mean Jancic.
Thank you.
I mean how they play.
Thank you.
No, but also they've been out of position.
They have been
deep enough on drops.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Terry Brown this week on our In the Pocket show, the TV show, we had him on, you know, and he's an NFL referee. And we were talking about the team, and he said, and he's a former defensive back. He's very good here. Bino, he was a great player in his day, right, Terry Brown? Very good player?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Outstanding player.
Terry said his problem when he watches us and our secondary is the angles that these guys take is constantly kind of off. And he said, not to be too critical, but also they're out of position a whole bunch.
And they're out of position.
Yeah, I don't know how you get there. I mean, today there was a game, a play earlier, not TK, the guy at second, then the safety that started ahead of him. Guys, help me out here. Who is
McNeil?
McNeil. He's way, he is way beat. I mean, he is beat 50 yards early in that game. He got caught peeking in, and a guy runs by. That just can't happen to a veteran.
Well, his hips never flipped, and he never started running until the guy was already past him.
You can't do that. At that level, you can't do that at that level.
Well, look at the early in the, maybe Florida. I mean, they had Cam Sutton dropping off 10 yards, 15 yards, and they were making underneath throws all single day. Like, have him straight up on the line, man.
Agreed.
Man. These guys may need help.
Agreed.
But why is Sutton dropping off 10 to 15 yards?
That's how you play Florida. That's exactly how you got to play
hit
Florida.
Him
tough. Punch him in the face. That's exactly right. And you know what? If I punch you in the face and you beat me over the top, more power to you. You made a play.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, and granted, like even today, we got beat over the top two or three times, but their offense did nothing. I mean, we gave them 14 points, not offensive. If we don't do that, then they're not in the game. So even though we got beat over the top, they were terrible on third down all game. And they hit a couple in the last series. But they were terrible. Then we still got beat over the top. But overall, the defense was much better.
Much better. I love the energy they played with. I thought our linebackers actually had a pretty nice day today.
They did. They're still slow to react to, like, I mean, the best play that I saw all day was after we've gotten beat on the play action pass, the rollout, we finally recognized that and we were stopping that. Where the rollout to the tight end or the running back was just wide open. Sometimes I think their drops are not great, but I mean that comes with experience, and just there's nothing to do with experience. You have to just play.
Got to go, man. That's right. You got to play. And hey, listen, I really appreciate the call. I love your passion, brother.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thank you. Big Nash just said, "Quit complaining about everything. We won. Good grief, Tony." Spelled my name with an I, Bino. You like that? Took a little shot at me.
Tony, spill it all kinds of ways.
Am I being too negative? I wasn't being negative. I was saying I love the imperfections in college football. I love it.
Tony, I thought the caller made a couple of excellent points. One is that we're all because coaches make so much money, way above what they should be making, we're all a little too quick to criticize them. And because the players are in a position where it's almost a plantation system, we feel like we can't criticize them. I thought that the coaches took criticism, as they should have, against Florida and Oklahoma. Had we lost this game tonight, I think most everything would have been laid at the feet of not making plays when we had opportunities to put the game away, or when we had the opportunity early. But so that's the first point. The second point is I have been more disappointed with the defense this year than the offense. I understand the injuries. I understand Gollum being gone. I understand Majid, but I thought this would be a defense that would keep us in each and every game and make the plays that it took to win games. And I don't believe they've played anywhere close to their capability.
No, but I will say this. Galdon, I think, even though Cam Sutton's a pro and will be in the NFL draft, I think he's a better player than Cam Sutton, which is really kind of incredible because Cam Sutton is a wonderful player. And that matchup tonight was a world-class NFL preview matchup. Watching Cam Sutton and his nemesis from Georgia go at it tonight.
Both of Tennessee's corners struggled at times, I thought, today, but mostly in Sutton.
Yeah. Hey, Sutton's got a world-class assignment out there, and he followed him all over the field.
Sutton has not had a great year.
No, he has not. No, he has not.
I think he's a nice player.
Well put.
He has struggled at times this year.
I don't know. I agree with that. I don't know that Gollum is a better player than Cam. I think Cam Sutton's better.
Well, you haven't seen Gollum. We don't know what
Gollum
is. I'm
going to tell you something. Gollum is a great player. Okay? Don't fool yourselves.
Gollum is an outstanding player, but he plays a position that in today's game is the most important on the field defensively, just about.
That's why you hated to lose him. Hey, guys, by the way, got a guy on Twitter asking me what the final total was in terms of plays run, because we had said 90 earlier. How about this, Bino? Tennessee ran the ball 48 times today, which in that is a lot of those rushes by Dobbs. So they rushed the ball 48 times, and then they turn around and passing. Tennessee attempts 42 passes. 48 and 42, Dobbsy, what's it equal? 90 total plays, which is unfreaking heard of. Jimmy Hyams could tell you when the last time Tennessee ran 90 plays was. I can't. He loves numbers. Conversely, Georgia rushed the ball 29 times to our 48, and then they also threw the ball 33 times to our 42. And so Georgia finishes with, I want to say their number is... Tony, come on, don't be stupid. Carry the one. 61 plays.
Can I just say also, give Butch Jones some credit, a little game management thing.
62 plays.
You've got the ball, you're running clock there, that drive where we're debating whether or not to punt there.
Mm-hmm.
You milk the clock down to 1 second.
And?
You run the ball, not in a big hurry. You use up all the time you possibly could have. He's learning.
And,
we're getting better.
And he came out and took a timeout. They had a little chess match, and he forced them to burn a timeout.
Who was thinking,
really good?
Who was thinking, oh my God, he's going to do it right there, right? On that fourth down when they're trying to draw him off sides. Well, you wanted him to go, but I wanted them to punt, and I'm thinking, oh my, there's no way he's going to run a play here.
Matt Harmon with a tweet, Florida now up 21-3 with a pick six, Bino. Guys, coach of the century. They're going to be 6-0. And they have go ahead, Bean.
Done an excellent job. I was listening on the way home, and Russell made the point that this is what Butch Jones's offense is supposed to be. What we saw today, running a lot of plays, and he's exactly right. Georgia's defense was completely gassed in the fourth quarter. Completely gassed.
Smartway, go online, go smartway.net. You won't be gassed there. Everything that about your experience with Smartway will be very good. They're at 8416 Kingston Pike, online at gosmartway.net. Hop over there and check out what they do. Because you're going to be smart. You're going to buy smart. You're going to go the smart way. And Smartway, the way Smartway works is you can buy it outright, pay the retail price out the door, and have it delivered for free. or take your item with you. And what they have is everything for your home. From furniture to appliances, electronics, cell phones, you name it, they got it at Smartway. Cell phones, tires, products like you've never seen before. And when it comes to smartphones, they've got Samsung, LG, Blue, even iPhones available. Best part is, if you can't afford one of the new phones, you're able to get one from Smartway via a lease purchase agreement. And you'll be able to afford it over time. Take advantage of the 120-day same as cash for items less than $9.99 at Smartway. Ladies and gentlemen, check them out. GoSmartway.net online. For those of you inclined, the USA and Mexico are level at 1-1, 30 minutes to go, or 30 minutes into the first half. Mexico scored first, the U.S. getting an equalizer, and this is quite the soccer game. And this is a huge, huge game, and I will let Dubsy explain to you the reasons why. But let's go back to our phones at 8 past the hour. And let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hey, how's it going? This is your Atlanta Vol that called in at about 2 o'clock last week.
Great to hear from you, Atlanta Vol.
Hey, I got to tell you this. So I had to call back in. I was kind of hoping you guys would dedicate a radio segment to me at this point after calling the victory today.
You know, that's a good point. You called it, didn't you?
I did, and you know, it's funny. I couldn't be more proud to be involved today.
Isn't that great, man? Can I ask you something? How old are you?
Yeah, go for it.
How old are you?
I'm 25 years old. I graduated about a year and a half ago.
You know, I'm thrilled for you, because you've had so little in the last 8 years to really get excited about. It's great to have one of these like this to keep you coming back for more. And let's keep it going, man. You know it? Let's keep this going. Let's keep the good times going.
Hey, let's keep riding that momentum train. I don't know about y'all, but there is never a doubt in my mind that we are going to come back today. There might be a little bit of sarcasm in that statement, but my goodness, I cannot wait to go to work on Monday.
Amen. You work around a lot of Georgia fans?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's funny. I'm actually in an insurance type of gig where I'm in sales, and one of my coworkers had the audacity to tell me that Tennessee had no chance to show up and beat Georgia this weekend. And man, I usually don't like to run my mouth unless it's run to me, but I'm thinking about running over to Walmart, buying like a little miniature bulldog and putting it on her desk on Monday.
On her desk.
Wow. So you had a woman talking trash on you.
Can you believe it? That's the point we've reached.
Yeah, I can believe that. And that is the point we reached. And thank God we're not at that point anymore.
Hey, but in all seriousness, though, I couldn't be more proud of the team amidst all the rumors that were coming up at the beginning of the week. Obviously, there was a few scares here and there. You know, obviously, still don't know what's true, what's not true. But
right.
Despite that, still went out and played hard tonight. And my gosh, hats off to Josh Dobbs. He did the dang thing, and if anybody deserves a game ball, it's that man right there.
You know how much that game means coming from Josh Dobbs, coming from Alpharetta, and the defensive lineman for the Dogs that played absolutely lights out as well. Those two guys grew up playing football against each other, and of course, Vern Lundquist told me that about 1,000 times today in between chortling at really unfunny jokes that Gary Danielson likes to spew. But Russell told me that that's the first time that Tennessee has seen Gary Danielson seen Tennessee win in over a decade. That's really heartening, isn't it? The first time we've won on CBS in over a decade.
Man, that's minor depressing. Even with the happiness of the night, I can't even believe that. But hey, you know what? At least Gary still has his head on straight. I believe I heard Vern reference Knoxville, Georgia tonight, talking about the game.
At Vern Lundquist, I'm going to tell you what he is. You're lucky he knew he was in Knoxville at the end of that game.
He should stick to the golf. He's good at that when he's at Augusta, right?
Yes, he can. He's fried, that poor guy.
But, you know, also got to give a shout-out to my Seymour crowd, Andrew Ramsey. Proud of y'all. Hope y'all went to the game and had a good time.
Yes, Andrew Ramsey, the great golfer. The great, great golfer, Andrew Ramsey.
the great golfer. He still can't beat me, but he's pretty good, I guess, from being up there.
Yes. Well, listen, man, I appreciate your phone call, and we dedicate the next set of Four Love Songs in a row to you. How's that sound?
Hey, you know what? I might tear up a little bit, but I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for being there, man. And you rub it in their faces. And if she asks you if you're a Tennessee fan, you say, you better believe I am. Mark Richt. Are you a Tennessee fan? What? I'm asking you about the injuries to your tailbacks. I mean, what? You have a smirk on your face. Like, what? He did that to an AP writer. For those of you just joining us here on your Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction, there's something about Knoxville that makes coaches act just... Can I say it, Dubsy? Bat blank crazy? It's not late enough at night for me to say that, but something about this place. Why would you do that? It makes Bino.
Mark Richt is frustrated. He knows he just pissed away another game yet again because that's what Mark Richt does.
Yes, that's exactly
he knows
what he does.
He's about to take a beating. People are going to call for his head again down there in Georgia, and he's mad about it. So what? Take it out on an AP reporter. Mark Richt, who cares?
Yeah, Bino, what do you think the AP reporter pulls in a year that Mark Richt's picking on? I mean, those guys are really bullies. That's what that is. That's bullying that guy in a room full of people. That's really something.
By the way, how did Stokes get into the Georgia locker room?
Oh, that's not funny.
No, it's
I
really
like
not.
Seth Stokes.
So do I.
And by the way, I think Seth Stokes ought to get a game ball for this. Because I'm telling you, he galvanized that football team. Bino, do you doubt he galvanized that football team with that?
Tony, I think the two biggest misconceptions, it appears to me, based on what I saw tonight, are that the players have given up on the staff and that this fan base has given up on their football team. I figured we would quit when they picked up the flag on the punt. No such thing. And I'll tell you something, I haven't ever felt the hunger in that stadium that I felt tonight. I mean, people are there and absolutely starving for something good to happen, and finally they were rewarded.
The hunger's a great way of putting it. Josh Parrott tweets me, Dubsy, the quote you gave me earlier about Gary Danielson. Where'd you get that number about CBS, by the way?
That's a rectally derived statistic. The last 3:30 CBS game Tennessee won was 2006 against Alabama.
Josh Parrott says Georgia and Kentucky in 2007 were CBS games, right?
Georgia in 2007, no, that was a night game on ESPN. That was the Wardlow blocked. No, that was here. You might be right.
What about Kentucky? Kentucky 2007 was on CBS?
No. It wasn't a 3:30.
Yeah, there's no way that's a 3:30 game. I mean, jeez Louise. And you said in our stadium, just for the sake of the conversation. But this is an odd year, so that would have been in our stadium.
We had Gary. Well, the reason we had Gary Danielson on the show at SEC Media Days, and I asked him, "Have you ever seen Tennessee win a game?" And he said, "No." So that's.
Are you kidding me?
He's never that unless he forgot one. He told me this summer in Birmingham that he's never seen Tennessee win a game as doing the games with Fern.
Burns never seen a game he's called on CBS.
Bino, you enjoy Vern?
I hate to see someone who was a one-time great sit up there and just miss the entire game. It's just a shame. But you don't want to replace him because I guarantee if they move him off there, they'll move him over and let him be the replay official.
JM's reminding us that Kentucky was a 3:30 kick in 2007. And I'm going to take it we won that game. 2007, since Derek Dooley was not yet here to take his literal dump in the middle of our program.
That was the overtime game they won to get to Atlanta, right? That was a 3:30 CBS game.
Dusty Lee reminds me that Vern took a shot at band alternates, said they weren't good enough to be out there, called the band on the field the varsity. Vern's pretty roached.
That's the 2000. Are you talking about Kentucky 2007?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the game up there. The odd numbered years we played Kentucky, that was the overtime game, and it probably was a 3:30 CBS.
Wow, great memory. I watched that with you and Fab Five Freddy in the living room.
That's right.
With Sonny Hill.
Maybe Gary.
That was the game with Lona Sieber from Central,
yes,
who missed a short field goal to give Kentucky the win.
Maybe Gary Danielson just forgot. He did see Tennessee win after all.
Gary called the 2001 game Tennessee in the Swamp. No, he didn't, Bradley. That was, not that I want to get off on this, but that was Todd Blackledge along the Blackledge.
Danielson replaced Blackledge in, what was it, 05, 06, somewhere around there?
865-200-5402. Jason Mitchell's telling me that UK was a CBS game in 2007. Block kicks in Lexington led to the SEC championship game appearance. Sean McDonough used to call our games in CBS. Volstorm reminds us.
I love Sean McDonough.
I do like him.
He's my favorite play-by-play guy.
He's a great
guy.
True
story, Tony. Coming out of a basketball game many years ago at Thompson Bowling Arena, I was walking behind him and his CBS crew, and I got to see and listen to Sean McDonough go on a profanity-laced tirade.
Yes!
In person.
Yes!
It's awesome.
Let's go back to our phones. True story. I was a young broadcaster, and Sean McDonough took time to sit down with me and encourage me in this business when I was just a kid.
Love that voice.
I was
almost the football!
Very good. He's very good. They did him dirty because he followed Jack Buck on television. But they love all over. They love all over that clown Joe Buck. Let's go to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What do you say, man?
Hey, fabulous, fragilous. What's up, brother?
Well, I mean, obviously Orange Nation seems to get both. I'm loving this burn talk.
Really?
I was looking at him on there earlier today. And his head looked like one of those Macy Day parade balloons. It was so big on there. And I was thinking the only thing that could make that better is if it was coming out of one of those shirts Butch Jones wears, you know, where it'd be kind of tied up right there at the top. Then it was killing me.
Vern is, Five, he's been to party a little too long, buddy.
I believe he has. Hey, he's, God bless him, he's still in there. Hey, Tony, I'm going to back you on your punt deal. I'm going to go against the best brother in the world, Bano, here. Here's my reasoning. You're a three-loss team. Your playing teams beat you five in a row. They're in the top 20. Before the game starts, if somebody comes up to you and says, look, I'm going to give you one play to gain 1 foot, and you win the game. You want to take that, or you want to play this game? Hello?
Great point. Bino's so offended by you doing that, he slammed the phone down. But I got to tell you, Fab Five Freddy, that's exactly where I'm at. To me,
everybody would have taken that proposition. Well,
exactly.
If you're going to take it before the game, then take it when you actually have the chance.
To me, I'm saying to myself, okay, we've come from three touchdowns down.
Yep.
My team doesn't finish well for whatever reason. My defense can't get off the field. I got to end the game here. I got to end the game.
Well, here's the deal. There's over 2 minutes left at that point.
Correct.
And Georgia has two timeouts. Just because you get a first down, you're not going into the
game's
victory
over.
Formation.
No, it's not. The game's over.
No.
The game is over.
They've got two timeouts.
No, they only have one timeout.
They had one.
Because you made them burn a timeout there.
Yeah, they burned.
Before the play. You made them, which is great.
You still can't run out the clock.
Oh, I mean, you can.
You can come very close to it. You can run
a minute and 50 seconds, and you'd have a first down. Then with one timeout, the game's over.
You punt the ball there.
But I'll tell you how important this game was. Just think about this a second, to Butch Jones in particular. If we lose tonight and lose at Tuscaloosa, he's going to Lexington with a four-game loss streak. If Kentucky beats you up there, which could happen in Lexington, especially if you lose today, your career's over. I don't believe you survived five losses in a row. Just don't.
No, I think short of scandal, which I guess you could say the thing that happened off the field would qualify as, or the alleged deal, that's the type of thing I was talking about a month ago. Freddie, here's what I'm hearing from big money people in this town. Short of scandal and just complete dumpster fire behind the scenes, They're not running this guy out of here this year. First of all, they don't have the money. And secondly, nobody has the stomach for a coaching change. People want to see this guy succeed, and I'm
sure.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody does. People want to see our coach succeed till it gets to a certain point. He lost 5 in a row, including to Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, and Alabama, which is basically your 4 biggest ones. You'll never recover. But that's okay. We don't have to worry about that. Now, here's my question about tonight. How in the world, in the league that is the most over-officiated league in football, no doubt about it, how do you ever pick up a flag when it was the right call to play?
Wow. Only in this league, Fat Five. Only in this league.
Now, was that the same guy that dropped the touchdown pass that would have tied it?
Yes, that's Tony Robinson's nephew. That's correct.
Well, then that's karma. That evened that out. That completely made that an even thing then. Because the first one shouldn't have been a touchdown, and the second one should have been.
There was so much irony today. That was irony. The deal with the fact that Pig Howard had his signature moment against Georgia, and then the week he's thrown off, that was crazy. Just think about that. How about this? Janzik and Willie Martinez were both fired by Georgia. They have a hand in the signature win for Butch Jones so far, because that's the signature win, beating South Carolina. Hey, look, if you're a South Carolina fan, you're listening to us tonight among the thousands, no offense to you, but beating you is not a signature win. I don't care how high you're ranked. I don't care. I don't care what.
Is this his biggest win?
This is easily his biggest win.
Hmm.
Freddie, you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Not even close. It's not even close.
Those South Carolina teams couldn't play compared to this time. Guys, I'll tell you what I think. Josh Dobbs cemented his role in this football team when he tried to chase down that guy on that fumble, and he chased him basically 96 yards. I think he showed everybody right then that he wasn't going to be denied given the opportunity in this game. And by the fourth quarter, he was absolutely, he was running like a fullback in the middle in there. He was just running over guys.
Hey, he hears the whispers of how Dormady's going to play. You know, yeah. He hears that. Guy's a competitor, man. That guy gets 100% credit from me. He said, "You're going to take my job? Come on and get you some. I'm not relinquishing my job." Now, is he the best passer of the football, Freddie? No.
No.
Not even close.
Not perfect.
But he's got a lot of heart. And he cares.
How can you not pull for Josh Dobbs?
That cat cares about what he's doing.
You know, love him, man.
Fab Five Freddie just said that you're calling for the team there to punt the football away was an embarrassment. Your thoughts?
Well, I didn't hear Freddie say that.
He did say that. He did say that. You were off the phone. You detonated yourself. He called you an embarrassment.
He mugged.
I would punch football there every time.
Interesting.
He don't notice I didn't say that. Hey, the other thing that you like about your football team, when your two best players are your two hardest players, and nobody plays harder than Jobs and Hurd does. Than Dobbs and Hurd does out there. And our two freshman guys, linemen, they weren't even. Who was the number one lineman that we got? They don't miss for.
That's right. He's not even playing.
Richmond.
Yep. Yeah,
Drew Richmond.
He's a nice looking player though.
He just needs to develop.
Yep. You put him in there with these young guys, and it looks good. Well, I know you got a lot of callers in here, guys. And Russell, I really appreciate you, and Bino and Sean and Tony. Really though, this Tennessee football, the only enjoyment, really, as bad as we've been, is the stuff that you put together, and it's just really good, man.
Thanks, man.
I do appreciate that. See ya.
Thank you. Trey Halliburton says the following. 95 grad, took my 3-month-old son to the 2001 SEC Championship game with my sister.
Oh.
ex-LSU cheerleader. My son cried in my arms. Did he cry in your arms today, Trey? Or he was 3 months old. He surely didn't understand how big of a botch coaching job that was back then.
Start him early.
Back to the phones we go. Bino, Freddie called you out. I mean, just between me and you. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if you guys have heat.
No, Tony, but I'm sure that you could drum some up somehow.